Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening
of another show. Well, this week I saw three shows, two very British, the other highly American. One takes place in the 1700s in Spain, and while not literally a musical, it is about music. More specifically, one musician's impact. The other Broadway play is dystopian in flavor, a trendy flavor these days, which must say something about how we are feeling these days. The off-Broadway piece I saw, well, it's difficult to say what it is about, but just suffice to say the trio of one acts features some rather strong male companionship, a tense mother-daughter conversation with an ISIS component, and a hilarious online date. Yep, all that in less than 2 hours. But let's begin with the snazziest of my shows of the week, about the man who is literally saved by the sound of music. Farinelli and the King is at the Belasco Theater, where it continues to sell out most nights. The play is written by Claire Van Campen. Now, what makes this impressive is she is primarily a composer and director. What makes this notable is she just happens to be married to, arguably, the greatest actor working today. Well, certainly the greatest stage actor. That would be one Mark Rylance of Tony and Oscar fame. And I think he may have won an Emmy, too. Let's face it, if you can get Rylance attached, there will most likely be a theater happy to house you for however long you can stay. This show is up through March, at least. Farinelli and the King is actually a very slight story, though it's based on fact. It deals with Spain's King Philip V, who apparently was often so depressed that he was essentially incapacitated. Today we would call it bipolar disorder. The King would often allow his wife, Isabella, to speak for him. So what got him out of this funk? Isabella calling for an Italian opera singer known as Farinelli. What made him noteworthy was that he was castrated by his parents at the age of 10 so he could preserve his angelic soprano of a voice. The unique style became known as castrato. When Farinelli sang for the King, well, a match was made. He gave up his successful career to sing for his royal audience of one at all hours, and this went on for some 9 years. What the production offers are three major things. Leston Davies, the gorgeous singing half of Farinelli, Sam Crane, the actor who stands nearby and performs the character's non-singing side. Director John Dove, by the way, does a lovely job making the two sides, his public and private persona, so natural that you hardly notice when one moves in or quietly disappears. And, of course, the show has Mark Rylance, who squeezes something out of every line, even olé, olé. His humorous takes on others like casserole, that's French for paella, it's a multitude of nothing, and so on are priceless. But so is his melancholia, especially when he learns of Farinelli's plans to ultimately leave him. It will be worse because now I know he is in the world, but not with me. Our bird has flown. Farinelli and the King is a pleasant couple hours, and above all else, it is a privilege to watch Rylance move about a stage and occasionally alongside the audience members surrounding that stage. Now, right up the street at the Samuel Friedman Theater, another English import has been playing. It's called The Children by Lucy Kirkwood. Let me take 5 seconds here just to salute the fact that both those shows were written by women. This story could hardly be more different. Three characters only, they are a trio of physicists or engineers who previously worked together at a nuclear power plant. The ominous tone and frequent mysterious sentiments like when the wave came and the disaster closed the road give us the early warning that something cataclysmic has happened and their world seems to be coming to an end. The menage a trois performers who come from the West End production are Francesca Annis, Ron Cook, and Deborah Finlay. They are all excellent. The show runs a bit less than 2 hours, but it feels longer, frankly. There is some suspense, but a sense of slightly pretentious gloom and doom hangs over it all. Just when I was wishing for a little castrato, a song comes up on their radio and the three actors break into a dance. Despite the title, we don't see any children, though occasionally a knowing line pops up, such as when one of the women discusses her grandchildren. I enjoy giving them back. As we exit the theater, we are clearly meant to ponder our responsibilities to the next generations. What are we leaving behind? It is certainly a legit question and a timely subject. I don't think you'll hear many audience members excitedly recommending the children. It's a tad heavy-handed and a tad less profound than it thinks it is, but I'm sure they will appreciate its message and professionalism. Finally, I caught an unusual play or plays at the annual Laboot New Theater Festival at 59 East 59. I have never been a fan of screenwriter-playwright Neil Labute, and I confess his one act, there are three here, was my least favorite. Hate Crime gives us two men, obviously in a sexual relationship, at some kind of impasse. It's dark, and besides the two fine performances by Chauncey Thomas and Spencer Sickman, does not offer much in the way of insight or observation. And somehow in this time of harassment charges and all that, its tone did not strike me as particularly energizing, not to mention enlightening. The second short play of the event, Winter Break by James Heaney, brings back Spencer Sickman as the brother of a young woman about to use her school break for rather frightening exploration, a plan that unhinges her understandably concerned mother. The two actresses, Autumn Dornfeld and Kelly Schassel, are excellent in what almost feels like Lady Bird with that Islamic thing added in. The final one act, written by Carter W. Lewis, is the most enjoyable. Percentage America gives us a couple that has met online and tries out a mathematical experiment to see if they are well matched. It's too hard to explain and not that easy to follow, frankly, but the three performers, Chauncey Thomas is back, and the two actresses are delightfully funny. All the pieces were directed by John Pearson, not easy in such a tiny venue as this. So it was a mixed bag of a week for me. Did I mention I saw the Bobby Darin story at the 92nd Street Y? It's another story. As the winter doldrums continue in New York, there are lots of half-price tickets available. So, Jill, for those willing to venture in and out.
So people probably are venturing in and out. It was very good over the holidays, and then it went quiet, right? Is anybody suffering from that, as far as you know? Are you hearing anything?
Whenever I go to the theater, I always walk by the half-price tickets booth because I'm curious about that. It looked like... Once on this island is suffering, looked like the John Lithgow show was suffering. You know, you see them up there. One that goes in and out is the one with Tony Shalhoub, Band's Visit. It was up, it was off, it was up. I think that's doing well. I'm sure they'll all take a hit in January. It just has to happen when the tourists go home. But I got to tell you, I'm walking in these theaters, they fill up. Whatever they're paying, they're filling those seats.
Which suggests that there's a sort of interest in live theater. I was struck to see the New York Times, which sometimes is makes me wonder. But they made a recommendation a couple of weeks ago saying, go to the theater. Live theater is good.
Yeah. Even on the day of the Women's March in the city, I marched right over to a theater, and even that was filled. The streets were kind of empty. They were all on one street, obviously, but the theaters were not. So maybe people took that as an opportunity. You know, there must be tickets this day because everybody's out marching for whatever reason. And the weather hasn't been impossibly cold, or we haven't had the blizzards that tend to keep people out. No, we may squeak by here, but we're ready. We're ready for new stuff. There's no doubt about it.
And are you hearing anything? You know, it's such a, let's just say, gossipy business. Are you hearing anything about anything coming to town? Yeah, you know, the new ones that are coming up, is there any?
No, the only one I heard mixed feeling. No, nothing. Well, except for the ones that are coming from England that we know were got raves over there like Angels in America. Previews haven't even started for most of these. The only ones you hear about are the ones that played out of town, Frozen, which got nice reviews when it debuted. I believe, I'm not sure if it was Denver, somewhere odd. And what's the other big one? Mean Girls got mixed reviews coming out of Washington. But you know they're working on those shows right until the last preview ends. So, no, you're not hearing that buzz, 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 go out and get the ticket. Here's a secret word, remember. Somebody told me 3 years ago, just remember the name Hamilton. When you see the first time they're selling tickets, get it. No. So I can't say there's a lot of buzz yet. It's sort of a buzzless period.
And anything on Hello, Dolly?
No, I'm not sure. Has she started yet?
I think she starts imminently. I know that he started. I know that Victor Garber started, I believe, on the 14th.
Oh, okay.
But 14th of January. And we're just a teens after that. But I think that Bernadette Peters starts the week. I think it's this week, 20th.
Yeah. Then. God, wouldn't that be fascinating to see what those rehearsals were like? It's amazing what you do when one leading star leaves and the other one comes in. Everybody kind of goes back and she puts her own interpretation on it and the other actors respond. I'm sure it's a wonderful thing for them. It's a breath, fresh air and all that.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.